we'll keep that conversation going, Nick, because in the arena, it felt like a lot during that first half, especially with the inconsistent officiating. The crowd had a hatred for the Zebras.
Right out of the gate, too, there was a call on Juwan Gary. Like, what? Huh?
Yeah, so for me, and I know that that's – you kind of just have to deal with it on whether something's a bad call or there's inconsistent calls. And to me, inconsistent calls are worse than bad calls because at least with bad calls, you go, okay, that's what we're dealing with. With inconsistent calls, you don't know how physical you can be anywhere. It seemed like there were touch fouls, ticky-tack things inside, but you were allowed – to manhandle somebody on the outside. And then it would be a ticky-tack foul out there. It's like, it's so tough for the players to know how physical they can be.
Right.
Not just game to game, but almost it was possession to possession last night. But Nebraska stuck through it. The crowd stuck through it. There was a lot of juice in that second half. You have an 8-0 run to tie it up. And then you have an 11-0 run to take the lead for good and never look back and get to the line. Alpha Bryce, all the free throws down the stretch. The crowd was juiced. The players looked juiced. Four-game winning streak, and suddenly everything feels good. Most of the metrics are saying right now, let's see, like Bart Torvik says 87.4% that Nebraska men's basketball is in the tournament right now.
And all of the this is where I go back to pre six-game losing streak. Those non-conference wins, the Creighton one, and that one is aging extremely well, obviously.
Good job, Creighton.
Yeah, thank you, Creighton, for keeping that going. There's a lot about what they were able to establish themselves early in the season that maybe it did give you a little bit of cushion that if you were to face some type of a skid, which Nebraska probably a little bit longer than they had anticipated or would have liked to have seen. But this is why I go back, and this is why I asked the question to Wilson. And I thought yesterday's game, Caleb, was a perfect example of this, of where this team is connected. And when you have what is going to happen in college basketball, especially in a conference like the Big Ten, where you're going to be playing some very good teams, or you're just going to be having some nights where maybe you are out physical, whatever the situation is, and you fall short on the scoreboard, what is that going to do to your team? Because as we talk about a lot, you get into February, you start to take on that look of the team that you're going to be in the postseason, whether your postseason plans are just the conference tournament or beyond, you start to take on that form. And I think that's a good thing for Nebraska because what they were up against yesterday, yeah, I'm with you. I thought the officiating was extremely inconsistent, but this is where I go back to the leadership of Fred Hoiberg. He's a guy that if he needs to have a conversation or two with the officials, he'll do so, but he'll do so in a Fred manner that you've got so many veterans, guys that have experienced different levels of college basketball and in different conferences, that there's really nothing that is going to overwhelm them or shock them. And I thought yesterday's game was an example of that, where Ohio State, especially in the first half, they are throwing big run after big run at this team. And then as that's happening, you have guys going down with foul trouble where you're extremely limited on what you can do. And then so you look at Bryce carries the load, but Wilson is spot on about that complimentary piece too. When you got Juwan Gary, who, you know, whether he's in foul trouble or not, he's giving you some of that instant offense, but also he's able to give you a lot of those gritty plays. Andrew Morgan was huge in that moment as well, where this is where I go back to the culture of this team, not just their overall ability to score buckets, to make defensive stops, but in the moments to maintain that even keeled approach to where their emotions don't run too hot and all of a sudden that just defines them. Because if that was the case, what Ohio State was doing on top of some of the calls that maybe weren't necessarily going Nebraska's way, that thing could have been extremely ugly at halftime. Nebraska was down, yes, but kind of how I felt at the halftime of the Washington game of Washington ain't going to come out and shoot that good in the second half. Can Nebraska take advantage? They did, just like in this game. Nebraska could have been down by a lot more than they were at halftime with the foul situation. Thank you, Bryce, but they're still within reach. And now then we saw what happened in the second half. There's a toughness with this team that I think was called out a little bit by Fred earlier. And I think there is a connection with this team, a very connected group that despite when things are going bad, that they just don't seem to get really destroyed by that emotionally or physically.
The last two games, the way Nebraska went into halftime, down 10 at Washington and the Huskies shooting lights out.
Yeah.
Last night, Nebraska made one shot in the final 6.5 minutes of the game, or 6.5 minutes of the half. To come out of halftime both of those games and play their best basketball. You're right. There is a toughness to that. There is a mentality to that, to get into the locker room, not be pointing fingers and let it all just unravel in the way that, you know what, things did unravel during that six-game losing streak. And I don't know what, if there was necessarily pointing fingers or anything, but as Wilson said, there were some slumped shoulders at times if things started to kind of go wrong. And you haven't had that happen. You had Illinois come all the way back and it go to overtime, and then you take over in overtime, and you go to Oregon and you only trail for 46 seconds over the course of the entire game. Washington shoots lights out and you take over in the second half. And then last night, take over in the second half again, and it be a free throw party. Yeah. And you go in and you make your free throws. Braxton Mia went 3 for 3 on his free throws in the first half. Everyone's getting in on making the free throws, and it feels good for this team as they're going through and pushing towards a potential NCAA tournament bid. Like I said, most of the places are saying Nebraska is in. When I looked on Friday, which actually is the last time that this was updated from Joe Lunardi, he had Nebraska as the last of the last four byes.
Right.
So yeah. So the fifth to the last team in when you're looking at it. And to grab a win last night, where some of the analytics, I think Nebraska was a slight favorite last night, but some of the analytics pointed towards Ohio State winning that game. You grab that, I think you're getting off of that last four byes line. Like, yes. That's where this team is you're pushing yourself off of the bubble. And if Nebraska gets off the bubble, by the way, that would be 10 Big Ten teams in the field, none of them waiting to see how the bubble turns out.
Right. And isn't that a great place if Nebraska, I was looking at a bubble watch, Neil Payne from ESPN.com. And you're right, because I think it was when we first spoke last Monday, they were the very last team in.
Yeah.
And now they are the last of the four byes. So they're obviously heading in the right direction there. But also with the bubble watch, I think their percentage, and it's a different calculation, depends on who you look at, but they're at 57% chance. I think that's the lowest, actually, that's one of the lower ones I've seen,
yeah.
Yeah, but it also is extremely complimentary as far as their breakdown of who they've beaten and what they've done since that losing streak, that essentially the BPI has them with the games coming up. Now, Maryland's going to be tough, especially with Berkey's injury. Yeah. That one concerns me, but going to Northwestern, having Penn State, those are very winnable games. Now, we've talked about this. The good is you're favored in those matchups. You match up well, even maybe without Burke in there, but you don't gain a lot. So you have a lot more to lose there, but BPI favors Nebraska in those games. So then you're starting to have that number get closer to what you and I both agree is 19. It's probably a good spot to be. So I think even with that 57% chance of making it in, which is lower than most, there's still a lot of optimism in that breakdown that number will go up. And you're right. You brought this up to Wilson 2 weeks ago, Caleb, 2 weeks ago, they were on the bubble of even, they were on the wrong side of the bubble of making their own conference tournament. It A, shows you quick turnaround, great job by Fred and this entire team of weathering that storm, but B, also how volatile that conference is. And if you are down, You might need just a week or two to really change your fortunes. Or, as we've seen with certain teams, if you're up, all of a sudden 2 weeks, boom, you're right there where Nebraska was too. Look at where UCLA is now. Since that loss to Nebraska, UCLA was 7 in a row. So, yeah. You know, there's just so much volatility in this conference that you can never take a night for granted. But also, as long as there's still some games on your schedule and you're sitting there in the lower half or middle part of this conference, you've got a shot. Look at where Nebraska has moved.
Maryland and Michigan are the only teams Nebraska has left on the schedule that are higher in the Big Ten standings than where Nebraska is. 16-8 for the team on the season, 6-7 in Big Ten play. Can you find three more wins?
Right.
Can you find three more before you get to the Big Ten tournament? And that's your starting point. Mm-hmm. Because it's the same thing as when this losing streak was going on. It was, where can you find your wins? Can you look at the rest of the season at the time with only 12 wins? Can you find 8 more wins? Can you find where those are? And right now it's, okay, can you get 3? And part of that is because of the way the rest of the bubble has played out, the way those teams are playing. I know you think back to Tim Miles' team and finishing, what, 4th in the Big Ten and not making the NCAA tournament. That's not the way the league is now, and that's not the way the bubble is now. It's not a very strong bubble. Mm-hmm. So Nebraska being able to keep themselves in that conversation and play themselves off of that bubble, extremely encouraging. And we'll have another show before we even get to that game on Thursday, because we'll be back here Thursday, 9 a.m. But it is nice that we're able to have these conversations about where this team is in relation to getting back to the NCAA tournament.